And in the Rhino Shield studio, it is the Rhino Radio Power Hour. This is your host, Charlie Harper, taking over this hour for our good friend Sully. He'll be back next hour unless we have him chime in and bring up guns or something else he cares about. In the meantime, he's running the board for us. Got John Richards, Stephen Turkheimer. We've been talking a little bit about the Religious Freedom Railroad and how something that didn't look like it was leaving the station for 3 years all of a sudden bolted down the tracks and possibly over an embankment. And John wrote a post this morning on georgiapaul.com kind of suggesting that, talking about veto possibilities and how much political capital the governor would have to use, because there's at least one other bill that the governor has already threatened to veto, which is campus carry. And both would be very high profile going into an election. What's really going on here? But the governor doesn't have to stand for election again. And so that gives him a little bit of leeway, but it does potentially cost him some capital of potential deal making with legislators before. I've got a slightly alternate view of that that I shared in the comments of Georgia Paul this morning. But John, why don't you kind of lay out what you're thinking there in terms of what the governor may or may not be doing?
Right. So the issue is that he's going to have to make some very tough decisions, whether he decides to veto the bill or not, right? So you've got a religious liberty bill where business interests and LGBT interests are saying no, veto it, and the religious right community, faith-based community, whatever you want to call it, is saying pass it, we worked for 3 years. And he's got to decide which way he's going to go. If he vetoes it, again, he basically tells the folks, the voters, that he's not interested in their interest. You have another bill, which is the campus carry bill. The governor had indicated he was in favor of it, but after the legislature passed the bill, the governor came back and said, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, can we make some changes? The impression I get from the people down at the Capitol is they don't want to make any changes, and they're going to force him to veto it. But if he vetoes the campus carry bill, which, of course, a lot of Georgians are interested in passing, not everybody, but many are, vetoes the religious liberty bill, and then comes around in November and says, I really want you to go ahead and pass my opportunity school district constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot in November. And if he's offended the voters, will they actually go ahead and vote for it, or is he going to lose that opportunity without doing something else?
I look at that unique subset of this as the Opportunity School District already is a interesting bill, in that where political leaders and parties lie is not exactly where the voters are. There's already a disconnect, mm-hmm. because the Opportunity School District is perhaps strongest in areas represented by urban Democrats, that specifically Vincent Fort, who has compared it to, you just go into some of the worst comparisons possible. And yet, if you compare it to the charter school amendment, some of the support is the strongest, because that's where the bad schools are. And the people know that their leaders have failed them in specifically the education of constantly getting a lot of money spent in schools. But it's a jobs program. It's not a results program. And we're not educating those folks. So there's already such a disconnect, in my opinion, and you see the same thing in some suburban circles where this is a Republican bill, but you get to the suburban Atlanta area where it's highest concentration of Republicans, where they have good schools, and they don't necessarily want the state to be able to come in and meddle with their schools. They scream local control. So I don't know that while there could be a linkage, I find it hard to believe that the Opportunity School District is it. Stephen, you wanted to jump in there before I kind of...
No, I was just agreeing with you. I think Opportunity School Districts is not in trouble at all. I mean, I think you're right. He is in danger of burning some bridges in the legislature. I think outside the legislature, he's good. I mean, campus carry, the stats I saw were 78% against. That's the AJC poll. I think once you saw people bringing up the daycare amendments that Senator Parent brought up in her speech, I think that's only going to make that number go higher. So I think he's good on campus carry. Religious freedom is such a tricky thing. And I think that, you know, his personal politics, he made a statement today that was a little odd. He was like, I'm surprisingly pleased that they passed a bill or something like that. And I don't know where that's going to leave him. I guess there's a lot of lobbying to be done between now and April on him. But I think he'll be fine, because he's the governor, and that's kind of a big deal.
Well, and the comment I made, because again, I the way I look at this, it's a different form of political capital, because the veto is very much part of the inside club, if you will, of those that actually have titles under the Gold Dome. And Georgia is very unique in that our governor has a line item veto. And when Zell Miller was told he was a lame duck by a legislature that decided to just all of a sudden ignore the will of the governor, this was back in the day when we had supplemental budgets that were always used as to hang Christmas tree ornaments on the trees of committee chairmen around the state and pay for things like school band uniforms and whatnot. And if I recall my memory serving correctly, the first supplemental budget after the legislature decided to ignore the will of Governor Miller, he went through almost with a chainsaw on his line item veto and just started taking things out. And while we don't really have that kind of supplemental budget anymore, because most of what's left over, what we would call the supplemental budget, has been going to boost the rainy day fund. That's something we might want to talk about a little bit. The governor, most of the bills that actually get to the governor's desk are attached to someone. There's someone that bill is important to. It's always well known with inside the Capitol. This is committee chairman so-and-so or representative or senator so-and-so's bill. And if they choose to start going against the will of the governor, he just could start taking out any piece of legislation he wants. And that's his prerogative as chief executive officer of the state and a constitutional right he has. And so I just get the sense that there's not going to be a full-tilt rebellion against the governor. And they've had their vote on religious freedom, and therefore they're on record. And if the governor opposes it, then it's on the governor's shoulders. And, you know, they'll come back and try something again next year, possibly even try to override the veto. But I don't see that that's going to happen.
I agree with you in terms of where the actual legislators are. And again, my post was designed more to the relationship with the relationship between the governor and the general public, and how much slack they're willing to give them. And I guess we'll find out based on what he decides to do. And the Opportunity School District. You know, you say that the Opportunity School District doesn't mean a lot to Republicans in rich school districts, but it still needs their votes.
It needs them, and I'm just saying that's where it's more controversial. And again, it's not to say it can't get in there. I just think that this is the year of Donald Trump where facts don't matter. And so playing that level of the voters going to hold this bill hostage because of that, yeah, it can happen, but I just think in November, your average Republican and or Democrat that goes to the poll, we'll talk about in the next session, this is probably Trump versus Hillary.
Yep.
And I just really don't think your average voter trying to weigh that decision is really going to be sitting there saying, I really don't think I want to fix failing schools because religious freedom failed. I mean, it can happen. But I have a feeling that's more of our crowd, the people that really, really pay attention to it. And your average voter is just going to be so sick of Donald Trump and or Hillary Clinton that I don't even know if anyone goes to the polls in November.
Yeah. Well, and I would say as a campaign issue, there's going to be campaigns for OSD and against OSD, but I think they're going to get swamped by Hillary whoever the Republican nominee will be. Yeah,
but let's hold off the presidential for a look because we're
agree with Charlie. I don't think that – I think the governor's relationship with the legislature is as good – is not going to be as influenced by his veto. And I think there's probably some people out there who actually are glad that the governor might veto these two bills simply because it gets it out of the way at least for a while. And they can say, I voted for it. It's the mean governor who vetoed it.
Let me ask you this, and feel free to smack me down on this. Is there a way to read the legislature as this religious freedom rushed through as being a response to Deal's statement on campus carry? Is it sort of a push-pull? Are those related issues?
My gut is no.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, this has been underway. I've been talking to leadership for the last 2-3 weeks about what are you going to do, ever since the Senate passed it.
I would say if you want to tie it into something, you could go back to, again, tying it to a Trump mentality where every incumbent feels vulnerable now. Because the entire structure of the system, that's not just the Republican system, but people are questioning everything. The voters are truly angry. And in Georgia, in most parts of the state, especially if you get outside the perimeter, no one wants to go to the polls with people running against them saying that they voted against Jesus. I mean, that's just that is an unfortunate reality that nuance is lost in this current political thing. Everything is black and white with the hardest edge you can put on it. And the people that originally started this battle that decided to hold the business community hot, when you see the Republicans vote against the business community the way that just happened, you know something's different.
Yeah.
And this isn't people wanting to go out of the way to change Georgia's image as the city and state that are too busy to hate. These are people that understand that the electorate is mad. The electorate also is mad about very basic things that they're not going to take the time to understand the nuance of what's really going on, and that the most of the examples that are used, such as the Atlanta fire chief being fired over religious freedom, already has redress and already has a court case going because of the way he was fired. So that change, you know, adding a new law doesn't mean that old laws weren't broken and or his constitutional rights, and that but people don't want to get into that level of argument right now. So we'll get into that level of argument for him. We're going to take a little break, though. We'll come back with more Georgia Paul Radio on 640 AM WGST.